From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, reality begins with consciousness. Here's what's happening. Well, is Israel trying to rally support for an attack on Iran? And Britain's armed forces are stepping up their contingency planning for potential military action against Iran amid mounting concern over Tehran's nuclear enrichment program. The Ministry of Defense believes the U.S. may also decide to a fast-forward plan for targeted missile strikes at some key Iranian facilities. British officials say that if Washington presses ahead, it will seek and receive U.K. military help for any mission, despite some deep reservations within the coalition government. Jerry Corsi joins us in a moment as we will talk about this very tense situation. Cold, tired, and frustrated residents of more than 1.6 million homes in the Northeast remain without power. Some were told it could take 10 more days to restore electricity after the rare and deadly October snowstorm. Nerves frayed, tempers flared in hard-hit Connecticut, for example, on the fourth day without power since Saturday when the unseasonably early storm raged from West Virginia to Maine, bringing down tree limbs and downing power lines. Earth Changes Media's Mitch Batras has been watching this storm system. This is an unusual one. What caused this one, Mitch?
Well, first thing, I would not rule out solar activity. Now, this is different than the 1989 event that happened in Quebec, Canada. It's similar but yet different. In Quebec, in 1989, the fallout was very much the same. Then it was specifically due to solar flare. It was an X-class flare that hit first, the large one, and that knocked out power almost immediately. But it wasn't until 3 days later when the CME, the coronal mass ejection, the mass cloud of plasma that follows a solar flare, did the most damage. Now, here's where the stories are really very much alike. From that point on, when the power grids are down, whether it be caused by solar storms directly, in this case, it was severe storms, which I believe is caused by the sun, but it certainly would be more under the trees falling down and other means of the power going out. But the people suffered the same. And if you read these articles that they're putting out about what's going on there, you'll see a clear resemblance of how whole neighborhoods would have to come together. They were totally dependent on each other. And homes that had wood-burning stoves, for example, that was their only source of heat, only source of cooking. That's exactly what's being written about right now. And that's what happened in 1988. These kinds of things are what people are mostly not aware of or think could happen. But this is one of the big fallouts. And it's not anywhere near stopping, George. We have another very active sun. Four M-class flares have already fired off. More are set to within the next 24 hours. We had a mild geomagnetic storm earlier today. It wasn't as pronounced as the earlier October one, which was much larger than people think. That's the day, George, when the Aurora Borealis went as far south as Arkansas. And this event that we're talking about now, or at least the 89 event, went down to Texas. That is an indicator of the strength and more of a direct hit that these solar events can cause. So,
and also, Mitch,
I'm expecting more of the same.
And let me ask you this. We're a little less than a month ago now in the hurricane season where they predicted a very active season of some very severe hurricanes. We really haven't had that yet this season. What can we expect in the next 20-some days?
The unexpected. I've been saying all along this is very much unlike Cycle 23. This is going to be that we see these kind of things coming and going, kind of put us to sleep, kind of gets off our radar, and then boom, it hits us. There's still tropical storms being set up like that, and it's not going to take much. It'll be an incident like this, which is what all solar events do. If there is currently any type of imbalance in any type of earth-changing event, such as a hurricane, or let's take a tropical storm. What these charged particles can do is escalate that into a hurricane. If it was a volcano that's kind of been bubbling around in ebb and flow, such as the Canary Islands, which is now also on red alert, when solar events occur, it goes back into escalation. So that is what we have on board for the next 7 days.
Okay, Mitch, thank you so much. The only company in Britain using hydraulic fracturing to release natural gas from shale rock said that the controversial technique probably did trigger earth tremors in April and May. Small earthquakes, but they have finally admitted that they caused them. The Federal Reserve sketched a brighter picture of the economy today, and as a result, it's holding off on any new actions because stronger growth is giving it time to gauge the importance and the impact of steps that it has already taken. Andy Goss, one of the most respected monetary historians with us. Andy, so what's going on here? They say things are getting better. Auto sales seem to be going up, up, up. But let me ask you about Greece. How could this little country cause so much problems for the stock market?
Well, this little country has about $500 billion worth of debt floating around out there that's counted as an asset on the books of major corporations around the world, banks and institutions of every sort.
Federal Reserve seems to think that things are getting better and better and better. What do you think?
Well, their internal numbers are revealing that. You know, you mentioned auto sales, housing starts, of course, producer prices are increasing increasing as well. So this really indicates that this growth that they're seeing is not due to sound economic principles, but rather to the infusion of new money. I mean, goodness, they've added almost $2 trillion to the balance sheet since 2008.
What's your biggest concern right now, Andy?
Inflation. My goodness, if their willingness to put money in is demonstrated by what they've done so far, they could give us double-digit inflation by the middle of 2012.
One of Andy's books, Secret World of Money, his website, along with Mitch Batras, you'll find it on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. A Chicago man has died after authorities say he cut his chest to try to remove his own pacemaker. The Cook County Medical Examiner says the 47-year-old man died at a hospital. He apparently had tried to remove his pacemaker himself. Police say paramedics were called to his home where he lived and said he was complaining of chest pain. After he passed out in the ambulance, they tried to revive him. They found a puncture wound on the upper left side of his chest where he apparently tried to pull out his pacemaker. The U.S. House has passed a non-binding resolution reaffirming In God We Trust as the national motto. In God We Trust first appeared on U.S. coins during the Civil War in 1864, and it officially became the national motto in 1956 and began appearing on paper currency the following year. Okay, now there's a lot of talk about Iran. There's talk that Israel is trying to drum up support for a possible missile strike against Iran. The Brits have said that they will go if the United States goes. And what are we planning to do? Up next, Jerome Corsi joins us. He's an expert. He's written a book called Atomic Iran, and Dr. Corsi is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, today when I was doing our prep for tonight's program, I noticed a puzzle, and the pieces of this puzzle were scattered all around the place, and they looked like a bigger picture. And as I looked at this possible picture, I saw something that necessitated me to have Dr. Jerry Corsi on the show this hour, because he is an expert on Iran. Something is happening. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Jerry Corsi. Received his PhD from Harvard University in political science in 1972. He's written a number of books, including Minutemen, Showdown with Nuclear Iran, Black Gold Stranglehold, Atomic Iran, The Late Great USA, The Obama Nation, Where's the Birth Certificate as well, a number of different investigations by Dr. Jerome Corsi. And Jerry, welcome back to Coast, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, George. Great to be back with you. Thank you.
Are you noticing what I am seeing, and that is a circling of countries that are getting ready to possibly attack Iran?
No question about it, George. And the rhetoric has never been more ramped up. I've When I wrote Atomic Iran in 2005, I was predicting that a war would occur. But this past week, we've seen any number of reports out of Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, is preparing for a strike on Iran. We see in Great Britain reports coming out of The Guardian that Great Britain has offered to participate with Iran, with Israel against Iran.
Yep.
And that's unique. That's unusual. I was very surprised to see that much rhetoric and discussion in the Great Britain newspapers. But we've also got two or three other developments going on. Israel looks like it's preparing for a ground incursion again in the Gaza against Hamas, which is launching missiles and rockets into Israel. And there's also discussion about the possibility of a U.S. NATO-led strike against Syria on this whole theory of the responsibility to protect, very much like President Obama and NATO combined to go in against Libya. It's a tinderbox right now, and any action at all could launch a major regional war with Israel at the center of it, and the ultimate adversary is going to be Iran, no matter which one of these controversies starts first.
And somehow I think Syria will get pulled in on this, because that's one of the next puzzles, the next pieces to fall of the dominoes. And what's your guess? Jerry, you and I talked about 2 years ago in October, where we strongly felt that Israel was going to go in and take out those facilities in Iran. That was 2 years ago. I think we were right. I think our timing was off. What's your guess? What's your gut say about the timing of this?
Well, you know, George, 2 years ago, and you're exactly right, 2 years ago I was in Israel. I spent a month and interviewed Benjamin Netanyahu, really the entire leadership of Iran. I wrote a book called Why Israel Can't Wait. And in 2009, it looked like this strike against Iran was imminent. Israel was really on the verge of seeing that Iran's nuclear program was inevitably going to produce a missile, that an atomic Iran would be an existential threat to the survival of Israel. And Israel said from the very beginning it will never let Iran get a nuclear weapons capability. Now, I think Israel does not want to fight this war. This is going to be a horrific war that no one should want to have happen. I mean, thousands of people are going to die at a minimum. And Israel's tried to postpone it. But with the Obama administration increasingly moving away from Israel, abandoning Israel, and we see the United Nations now getting closer to the Palestinians, even in UNESCO, giving the Palestinians a full seat. I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes Israel think, well, they're on the end of a ticking fuse, and it's every day that goes by, I think it's more pressure on Israel to do something to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon.
Jerry, Iran has missiles, and I'm sure they're poised at Israel. Israel has missiles. I'm sure they're aimed at Iran. This could be a huge, huge battle, don't you think?
No, absolutely, George. It could be. I mean, I get emails and read Ezekiel, you know, the kind of a cataclysmic final war in the Middle East. Israel just today tested again a Jericho missile, which has the capability to reach Iran. And Israel in the last week has again announced it's upgrading its nuclear facilities, including its nuclear weapons facilities. And Iran is rushing as hard as it can to get nuclear capability. I don't think there's any doubt anywhere in the world anymore that Iran wants nuclear weapons. It's really just a matter of time. I mean, all we're talking about now, George, is when this is going to happen. And I think the situation in Syria, especially with Libya falling, and Gaddafi now dead, the pressure, Mubarak is gone in Egypt, Gaddafi's gone in Libya, so Assad in Syria is going to be the next target of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is organizing these, you know, what started out as the Arab Spring uprisings, but is continuing. Right now there's a whole group in Syria funded by the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think in part funded by Turkey, that is trying to overturn Assad. And if the U.S. and NATO combine in a strike against Syria, Syria will immediately retaliate with strikes in the Golan Heights, and Israel will be drawn into a regional war.
How big could this regional war get, Jerry?
Well, you know, George, that's always been the problem. It's unpredictable. Because as soon as you start talking about, you know, these kind of existential problems and threats, Israel could ratchet up to nuclear weapons to survive, depending upon the intensity of the attack. We also have to throw into the equation Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is another group opposing Israel from the north. Between Hezbollah and Lebanon, Hamas, major force, more rocket attacks from the Gaza, Syria now on the brink of a civil war, which would invite NATO and the United States in, and Iran pushing for nuclear weapons. We've never had more of a tinderbox situation in the Middle East in my lifetime.
Jerry, unless you know someone who's in Afghanistan or Iraq or your family member, generally the Americans don't feel now what's happening over there. They don't feel the war of Afghanistan. They don't feel the Iraqi war. I mean, things have kind of waned down emotionally in this country over the past few years. What does a war with Iran do to folks at home here in the United States?
Well, it's immediately going to change the entire calculation. I mean, we've certainly had, and you know, I don't think we can praise enough the brave men and women who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. Our military
has
done a valiant job. And coming home is going to be, again, a very delicate operation because as we reduce our force, Israel is going to have to be also on alert because Iran is going to be seeing an opportunity to move into Iraq and to assume more of a power position. There's a lot of Sunnis. Remember, you've got the Shiites in Iraq, major Shiite presence, and Iran is a major Shiite Islam country. Iran would love to have more influence in Iraq, and I think they're going to see a power vacuum and try to move in. This is a very kind of like moving pieces scenario right now in the Middle East where the United States is going to be reducing our presence, but the threat levels are going higher. And what has the result of this Arab Spring is the Muslim Brotherhood countries. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has really been the moving force all through North Africa. You go through Libya, Egypt, now into Syria. And the Muslim Brotherhood is a Sunni group which directly opposes the Shiites in Iran, is aligned more with Saudi Arabia. And again, you've got a major power struggle that's behind the scenes here between the Sunnis and the Shiites, which is going to play out in the next few months and weeks.
And I understand.
The center of it is Iran. Iran is really the major troublemaker and has continued to be the major troublemaker.
I understand, too, China violating some U.N. sanctions, now giving Iran missiles.
Yes, China seems to be now supplying Iran, which is pretty remarkable. And remember, George, it was only last month where we had this entire threat where Iran was allegedly having a plot in the United States to kill the Saudi ambassador to Washington. And that was exposed by the Obama administration. There were arrests made. And again, Tehran has reacted angrily to the United States, saying that Iran was involved in concocting this plot to kill the Syrian ambassador.
Yeah, they say it was a setup, don't they?
Iran says it was a setup. But again, it just shows the tensions that are escalating between Tehran and Washington. And Obama even recently, again, is pressing Israel on the settlement issue, which, you know, has been a continuing sore spot between Washington and Jerusalem, you know, going back to the beginning of the Obama administration. So you do not have any real agreement here. I think Israel is going to be increasingly feeling isolated. And I've always warned that when Israel feels isolated, the threat level in the region escalates dramatically.
Can Israel defeat Iran without help from the U.S. or Britain?
Israel can defeat Iran. I mean, when I was in, I remember being advised by the top military in Israel that the war that will occur will be an extraordinary war. The Israeli military said, Dr. Corsi, how difficult do you think it would be for Israel to put out all the lights in the Middle East? I mean, Israel will take exceptional measures, and in the final analysis, Israel will use nuclear weapons to defend itself, and that cannot be ruled out.
If they need to.
if they need to. Israel does not want to go to this war. Israel is going to have to be pushed into this war. But what I fear, and I've always feared, is a triggering event. I mean, the kinds of things that started World War One, you know, the assassination of Archduke.
Well, and everything in World War II, Pearl Harbor and the Gulf of Tonkin for Vietnam. Jerry, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls from for you. Lots of people are concerned about this story. Phone calls with Dr. Jerry Corsi next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, two scientists join us on Coast to Coast as we talk about reality begins with consciousness. So get ready for that. Coast Insiders, it's a club, and you can join for less than 25 cents a day, starting our new campaign for November. 2,000 new members, that's my goal. And, you know, one of the great things about being a Coast Insider is that you can listen to MP3s and stream broadcasts of the show. A four-hour show can be heard in less than 3 hours when you do what you do. So join up. You can also download now 1,000 past programs and have a great time for less than 25 cents a day. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the homepage toward the right, you'll see Coast Insider. Click that, and then you just fill out the appropriate information. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi and your phone calls as we talk about the possibility of war or an attack on Iran. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Jerry, how difficult will it be for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, to gather support for an attack on Iran with his own cabinet and his own people?
I think the process of gaining support is going on right now, George. The Ehud Barak, the defense minister, joining, evidently, in the willingness to attack Iran is a major step. And I believe that Netanyahu is working within the Knesset. Certainly, there have been articles coming out of Israel since last Friday indicating behind the scenes Netanyahu is working to build a broad coalition that would support an attack on Iran. And this is the first time I've seen this happen, really since 2005, when it began to look like it would eventually be necessary for Iran to be attacked by Israel to stop the development of nuclear weapons.
Jerry, when does mainstream pick up on this story? This is huge.
The mainstream media has been lagging behind in many stories. We might get to it as well, but I think Sheriff Arpaio's investigation of Obama's eligibility is another story that's being neglected. It's a major story beneath the surface. But I think the mainstream media on Israel is lagging. They're starting to pick it up. I noticed some coverage on drudgereport.com. And I noticed The Guardian is starting to report it in London. And I think that U.S. newspapers ought to start reporting it pretty soon. U.S. newspapers have been tied up with Herman Cain and his issues in terms of the sexual harassment scandals, which I think is an issue that's passing fairly quickly. But at any rate, the U.S. newspapers, the mainstream media in the United States, I think, is increasingly neglecting to report major stories that are developing both in the United States and around the world.
I agree.
Another major story is what's going on in Greece, and the potential that we're facing right on the edge of possibly the Eurozone breaking up. And again, the United States media have not given this the attention it deserves.
No, I put Matt Drudge in a class by himself, Jerry. I mean, he is way ahead of all the other mainstream media folks, way ahead.
I completely agree. In fact, Matt Drudge increasingly is driving the news. And, you know, it's interesting. The Globe, you know, the magazine and sold in the supermarkets has been leading the story with Joe Arpaio. Joe Arpaio was questioned about that, and he said, well, it was also the National Enquirer which led the story on John Edwards.
Yeah, can you believe that? In the old days, you would have had Edwards standing next to an extraterrestrial shaking hands.
I know, but I think it...
Which could be true. It could be true. You never know.
Well, George, you've led the news. You're doing it again tonight with covering Iran, where you're finding the New York Times, the Washington Post are lagging on this story. We could be on the precipice of a major war in the Middle East, breaking out in any number of ways, Gaza, in Syria, with Iran, and there's Israeli strike on Iran, and the mainstream media in the United States is asleep covering it. I continue to, you know, say that you with Coast to Coast AM are covering stories that no one else will dare cover.
Let's go to the phones now. We'll take some time with Jerry Corsi, Dan in Coral, in Cape Coral, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good evening to you guys.
I've
been listening to your show for several years now. I just want to say a great job and, you know, getting the information out to, you know, the general public. But just with me listening this last half hour with this, with your guest here, it just seems like... With the language that you've been using, sir, it's just like you're almost acting like repeating like Zionist propaganda, like, you know, Israel is like the victim. They're just, you know, not trying to cause any problems there in the Middle East. And it just boggles the mind how people can still accept Israel as a good guy. What do white Eastern Europeans have any business to do in Israel?
Can I comment?
Go ahead, George. All right,
I haven't attributed any right or wrong here. I'm just saying what the facts are. That I think Israel is in fact giving out all signals that they're preparing for a strike on Iran. Sorting out right and wrong in the Middle East would take us, you know, more than I don't know how many shows it would take, George, if we'd ever get it done. It goes back to biblical times, and I'm not sure we could ever sort out right or wrong in the Middle East.
No.
The issue, though, is one where I think we've got to report the facts, and the facts are that Israel, possibly with Great Britain, maybe with the United States, looks like it's a strike against Iran is imminent, and that's just reporting the facts. It's not saying right or wrong in the instance of why it's happening or the history of why it's happening.
Well, and the other fact, too, Jerry, is it, regardless of how you believe terrorism has been created, whether it's being pushed by these bigger groups or, you know, whether they're truly, you know, crazed fundamentalists running around doing what they do. Let's tuck that aside for a moment. I mean, it is a fact that Iran has been funding these organizations who are involved in terror, and nobody has done anything about it.
And Iran has been very involved in Iraq, going back to the IEDs killing U.S. troops, has been very well documented. Iran has been the terror master. They've funded Hamas, including now in Hamas in Gaza, as well as Hezbollah. And, you know, I have been a long-term supporter of Israel, and I'll fully admit it. And I think Israel's been our long-term democratic friend in the Middle East. But the point is, if we're going to discuss right or wrong here, it's going to be a very complicated issue, and it's going to take us back to the Bible. I don't think we have to go back that far. I think we're dealing right now with Israel feeling an existential threat from Iran developing nuclear weapons, and Israel said for years that they will not allow Iran to get to that point, and the time is ticking down, and the tensions are increasing in the Middle East, especially with the Arab Spring, what happened in Libya, now NATO and the United States looking at Syria, and rockets being launched an increasing basis by Hamas out of the Gaza.
Well, and I just don't want Americans to wake up in the morning one day, or Canadians, or folks listening to this program worldwide, Jerry, and say, nobody ever told us about this. We're at war. It's possible. It's got the potential. And I want people to know that, Jerry.
Well, and I think it's very important and very responsible, George, especially when the news cycle right now in the mainstream media is the withdrawal from Iraq, and that's a very important story. But at the same time, there's other aspects of that story, including a power vacuum being created in Iraq that Iran might move into, and it tends to give the American people the impression, well, if we're withdrawing from Iraq, the tensions in the Middle East are diminishing. And the contrary is true. The tensions are ramping up, and the fact that we are withdrawing from Iraq is going to give Israel another indication of feeling more concern of being isolated in the region.
All right, let's go back to St. Thomas, Canada. James on the international line. You're on with Dr. Corsi. James, go ahead.
Caller, I appreciate that.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment. Your guest was talking about biblical times. And I don't know if you noticed it, but I've noticed that if you look in the Bible, all the countries that Israel basically defended themselves out and kicked out seem to be the same enemies that they are today. What's your comment on that?
Well, historically, he's correct, Jerry.
Yes, I mean, if you go back, if you take a look at, this is why I mentioned Ezekiel. If you take a look at Ezekiel and this whole war of, you know, Gog and Magog, which has been interpreted to be Iran and forces behind Iran, including Russia and China, possibly. I mean, the predictions biblically of a cataclysmic war in Israel, in the Middle East, involving Israel, the countries and the forces really have not changed for 2,000 or 3,000 years. We're dealing with the same forces that we did in biblical times. Just today, the countries have nuclear weapons, and the threat, the dangers, the potential for human casualties and tragedies is so much greater.
Well, we use the latest technology, so let's go to our Skype caller in Springfield, Missouri. Jim is with us. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, thanks, George, and thank
sure.
you too, Jerry. Question for you, Jerry. What do you think the possibility would be of somebody using an electromagnetic pulse over the continental United States or over the United Kingdom at the start of this type of a conflict to actually get us out of the conflict or out of our involvement in that conflict?
Well, we've worried about that at WorldNet Daily. I attended some top-level military briefings in Washington, D.C. going back years ago. An EMP attack would involve the detonation of a nuclear weapon at high altitudes over the United States, and they would have the potential to take out all electrical facilities through the great region of the United States, which basically put us defenseless. And we have not done a very good job in the United States of being able to protect against this kind of a threat. It could be a missile that would be launched even offshore from a barge or a ship, and it would not have to detonate on the United States, just way in high in the atmosphere above the United States, and it's a real potential threat. And a country like Iran in a terrorist-type attack could launch an EMP strike on the United States either prior to a war in the Middle East or coincident with it.
The attack could be swift on the facilities, Jerry, but the response by Iran could cause this to be a very protracted involvement.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, people thinking about a war in the Middle East, I want to make it very clear, I've been trying to do everything I can since 2005 to avoid a war in the Middle East. This kind of war we're talking about tonight is nothing anybody should look forward to. This is not a board game or this is not an electronic computer game. Once the war starts in the Middle East, whether it starts in Gaza or it starts in Syria, or it starts with a strike against Iran, the calculations are really very difficult. It would be extreme casualties. The distances between Israel and Iran are great. Missile attacks are more likely, ramping up to nuclear attacks from Israel. Israel feels survival is a question, is very likely. Thousands of people can die, and the calculations of regional wars like this have, in fact, generated world wars. It's how we got into World War I and World War II, and it could happen again. So this is a war everyone should pray never happens.
I'm amazed by the fact that Russia seems to be standing idly pat. What's going on?
Well, Russia behind the scenes has, of course, continued to support Iran, even have building the nuclear power plant that Iran has, which Russia is now continuing to try to get to be fully viable and online. Russia has historically, going back to the 50s, taken a position that as long as there's chaos in the Middle East, Russia seems to benefit. Russia likes the chaos because it doesn't let the United States or Israel get a firm hold in the Middle East, and Russia likes the Middle East unstable and then plays it for advantages to Russia. Russia has supported Egypt when Egypt, and going back to the 50s, and Nasser was the strong enemy of Israel, and today Russia aligns itself with Ahmadinejad in Iran, again to align itself, Russia, with one of the chief adversaries of Israel. And Russia enjoys the chaos.
Let's go to Anaheim, California. Ed, let's get you in. Maybe a few more callers as well. Go ahead, Ed.
Really you guys talking to you. I brought up the point that there was a recent military exercise to bring over a large number of C-5As and also the Stennis aircraft carrier deployed over there, and it'd be a lot of money to retrieve all these assets. So that would set us up for something quite dramatic in this theater over there. But now you talk about the Bible, let me say real quick about that. There's a Psalm 83 war, and those nations that want to wipe Israel off the map will in turn be wiped out. And later on, there'll be the Ezekiel 38 war, and at that time, there's no mention of Egypt, because in the first war, because in Isaiah 17:1, it says that Damascus will disappear overnight. That could happen. I don't know. I'm an engineer, and I don't jump to conclusions, but there are a lot of things in the air right now. I've spent 14 years in the Middle East and all these places, and I feel something's going to happen pretty quick.
Well, you know, Jerry, I've been talking about a year and a half now of this impending feeling that people are feeling something big. I wonder if it's this.
Well, I think it's got to be something in this. This is the next major world crisis to happen. It's been building. Sometimes, you know, you look back at World War One and you realize that when World War One was happening, at the time it was hard to see how far it was going to go. It didn't look that serious at the very beginning. Well, again, we've had now a series of this Arab Spring, the Muslim Brotherhood in ascendancy, Egypt, Libya, now Syria is the focus. Syria is almost certainly going to go into the same kind of a internal civil war that we saw in Libya and Egypt. When that happens, the United States and NATO are not necessarily going to stand on the sidelines, not with this whole new theory being advanced in the United Nations, which is this a kind of responsibility to protect global doctrine. If we enter into Syria, Iran's not going to sit idly by and watch Syria, Assad, be taken down. Assad's been a long-term ally of Iran. And there's so many different variables here that it could start any different way. It could start with Israel doing a land incursion into the Gaza to go after Hamas with the rockets. That could set it off.
There are really only a few other spots left in the Middle East that need to go, and that would be Syria and Iran. These could fall pretty soon, Jerry.
That's correct, and there's lots of protests still going on in Iran. I mean, you don't have I think the Ahmadinejad government feels that even within Iran, there's the potential for the kind of an Arab Spring revolt.
That's right.
And the leadership in Iran would like a hardline movement to support Syria.
Well, Jerry, let's let everybody know and understand that most Iranians favor a pro-Western type of lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Correct?
I mean, the Iranian people, this is something that listeners really need to understand. I mean, the Persian culture, which goes back, you know, thousands of years, is not a warrior culture in the Middle East. In fact, Jews have lived in Persia for centuries. It's the radical Islamic Shiite, the mullah-led government, the religious government that has been so dangerous in Iran, not the Iranian people. The Iranian people have been held under great oppression. I'm just watching videos tonight of Iranians again with these hangings they do in Iran. They've perfected a new technique of the Revolutionary Guard put nooses on people are going to hang standing on tops of buses, and they pull the buses out at slow speed, and the victims drop off and get hanged. I mean, this is the kind of brutality the Iranians live under every day.
All right,
the Iranian people have wanted freedom for decades.
I wanted everybody to know what's going on. Dr. Jerry Corsi's been our guest this hour. Up next, we talk about reality begins with consciousness. Stand by for that on Coast to Coast AM.